Bibles to the book of Jude. Let us pray. Abba, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for your love, thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you especially for your word. Please open the eyes of our hearts tonight to hear this message. Pray in your matchless and precious name, Jesus. Amen. So last Sunday evening, Pastor Russo mentioned Enoch and how the scriptures in Hebrews 11 and Genesis 5 testify that Enoch pleased God and walked with God. There's one more place in scripture where Enoch is mentioned, which is where I asked you to turn to in the book of Jude. And so here in verses 14 and 15, we find Enoch prophesying about our Lord's second coming. And we read verse 14, "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." So Enoch was also called by God to be a prophet and warn his listeners. And I believe that God calls all of us in his church body today, like Enoch, to be watchmen by using scripture and to warn others, both believers and unbelievers, of present and future dangers that they may encounter. And I also believe that we are called to be Bereans, and if you will turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 11, just to remind you about the Bereans. These Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we're called to examine what people teach and what we hear that may be, you know, from doctrine or coming from the Bible. We need to check ourselves, search the scriptures, and make sure that what they're teaching lines up with scripture. So in that spirit, I would like to alert you this evening to a false doctrine, and I would consider it heretical, but it has been taught, not here, but it's been taught in the past and is still quite popular in the contemporary evangelical church. So I don't mean to imply that this doctrine is taught in our fellowship. However, some of you may have been exposed to this doctrine elsewhere. And there's one contemporary, very popular pastor of a megachurch. He's the president of a large university and a seminary in Southern California. He has an internationally syndicated teaching radio program, and he's actually taught the following, and I quote, "Jesus didn't pay for the sins of Judas, because when Judas died, he went to his own place to pay for his own sins." Now, I would like to show you how when you go to Scripture, you can completely demolish this teaching. So I ask you now to turn to a familiar passage in Luke chapter 22. And we will start reading in verse 14, and we'll read the following 10 verses, starting in verse 14 of chapter 22 of Luke. And we've looked at this passage in the last few weeks, so hopefully, you know, you're familiar with it. "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. So this is a familiar account of our Lord's last Passover supper with his disciples. So please note, going back to verse 14, that that verse establishes the fact that all 12 apostles, including Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, were present with our Lord. In verse 19, we see our Lord Jesus taking bread, giving thanks, breaking it, and giving it to all his disciples, including Judas, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And the following verse, verse 20, records, Likewise also the cup after supper, Jesus again saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shared for you. And in the very next verse, Jesus is recorded to say, But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. So this sequence leaves no doubt that all the words that we just heard uttered by our Lord were uttered in the presence of all 12 of his disciples, including his betrayer. So either Jesus gave his body and shed his blood for all 12 of his disciples, or he lied to them. Since our Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, cannot lie, we are left with the inescapable conclusion that Jesus died for all his disciples, including Judas Iscariot. Scripture teaches that Judas Iscariot is the son of perdition, which means that he is destined to spend eternity in hell. So finally, we have an irrefutable evidence from Scripture that Jesus died even for a person destined for hell. And there are other scriptures like John chapter 1, verse 29, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, which confirm that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. So this is an example, but please beware, there are false teachers in the past, present, and future that spread heretical doctrines. That Jesus Christ, this doctrine that Jesus Christ only died for the sins of those who were destined to go to heaven. In truth, without exception, Jesus died for the sins of every human being. So when Jesus died on the cross, he purchased the gift of salvation and the opportunity to go to heaven for every human being. And that is why he graciously offers this gift of salvation to every person. However, because it is a gift, he also gives every person the choice to receive or reject this gift. So with this in mind, if there is anyone here who would sincerely like to receive this gift right now and hasn't yet, you can pray a prayer in your own words and in the privacy of your heart, first thanking Jesus for dying for all of your sins, and next asking him to forgive you. And finally, letting him know that you want to surrender your life to him as your Lord and Savior. And if you have further questions, please don't hesitate to ask about this. Thank you, and Lord bless you all.
How do you determine which one's right or which one's wrong? Do we give merit to this? Well, like Brother DeMayo said, we compare it to what the Bible says. Just because someone comes up with an idea and it even sounds good on paper, if it contradicts the Word of God or the teachings of Christ, then I'm sorry, it's just not true. As good as it may sound, it's just not true. And I appreciate that. And again, reminding us that, excuse me, not everything that we hear is true. Do you believe? Can you imagine? Not everything we're told is true. So search the Scriptures daily. And even if it's labeled Christian, even if you go to the shelf at Barnes & Noble and you find the book in the religious section right in between two Bibles, well, it doesn't mean it's necessarily following the Word of God. So certainly search those things out. All right, are we going to sing another song? what's the song? Yes, the tune is good, and it builds and all that, but those words, tremendous. Jeremiah, tonight. Jeremiah. Did I tell you what chapter? 33, good. It seems like by the time Sunday night rolls around, just with the events of the day, my voice is about done. I feel like it's on its last thread. So I try and bring up water. Almost contemplated grabbing a cough drop, but no one wants to listen to me talk with a mouthful of marbles. So so we'll do our best to get through, and hopefully my voice and throat will not be any sort of distraction. If it is, just kind of weed past that and see what the Lord has for you tonight. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time. Now, there's a lot to that. I'm not going to necessarily tell all the backstory of all of this, but while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying... Now, again, you gotta think about the setting here. I mean, we just read through these verses, but this afternoon we went back to the house. I had some tilapia fish, been sitting all morning, and put some salt and adobo and parsley, and it was getting ready. Got to the house, we opened up the grill, started up the grill, grilled fish because you don't want to cook fish inside because then it smells like fish forever, and you can't get that out of the walls. We had fresh asparagus and nice fresh-made pie. Sam made us a pie today, right? And so that was a blessing. And, well, I say us, but he made it for Sarah. And we just got to participate in that. And then we just sat around this afternoon. I got to study a little bit. They went shopping a little bit. And, man, just had a nice day. I don't know what your day was like. When I look at the setting for Jeremiah, you know, I'm trying to think about a message and put things together for tonight. Think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't have roasted tilapia that day. Didn't sit and marinate for a while. Didn't get fresh picked asparagus. Didn't have the cherry whipped pie today. No, he was shut up in the court of the prison. And yet still God spoke to him. And this is his announcement to Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Jeremiah is in a rough way. And the announcement that he has to proclaim. See, Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah is a series of sermons given by Jeremiah. A number of them. And he's preaching to Israel, and here he is shut up in the court of the prison. And he has to proclaim this. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. I wonder if as he's saying that, he's convincing himself, right? He's making this declarative proclamation. The very ground that I stand on, God made. He established it, it says. Established it. Set it in order. Created its laws. I don't determine that when I lift my wallet up and drop it, it falls. I didn't come up with that law. It's the law of gravity. Do you know that, Benjamin? Okay. God created gravity. I didn't come up with the thought if I take two hydrogen and somehow bond it to an oxygen, if I take two gases and I put them together, I get water. I didn't come up with that. Those are the laws of God established in this earth. That's what he's saying. Hey, there's a God that made all this, that formed it all, that established it according to his set of laws and his rules and his order. He has a set of principles. He has a set of likes and dislikes. You know what he likes? He likes color. So how do you know? Look outside. He makes the sun to set in orange and purple and red. And he sets the trees in green and the skies in blue and the oceans in blue. And if you swim out in the Pacific or the Atlantic, every color imaginable. And he even made us all different colors too. I know he likes colors. Study his creation. That's what he likes. He's the maker of promises. He makes promises that he keeps. Unlike you and I. And that's what Jeremiah is proclaiming. Here he is. He's calling out, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is his name." That's his resume. If you ever apply for a job, and there's classes to teach you how to create a resume. Resume is what you've done and what experiences would be important to your job. Not just like cool stuff like, hey, I can make really good matchbox car garages. They don't care about that at work. Where'd you go to school? Man, anybody see Stephen Frederico? Woo! He just graduated from University of Charleston. He's fully funded at some cancer thing and also is going to Johns Hopkins for his master's. Former Lake Ontario Baptist Academy student. He came here for a couple minutes. He is what he is today because of Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. Anyways, may he use that for the honor and glory of God. When you're building a resume, you put things that are important to the job that you're looking for. Where you went to school, your experiences. So why are you saying that? Because God is building his resume. Thus saith the Lord, the maker of, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. That's his resume. No one else can put on their resume, creator of earth. Right? No one can go, I mean, Mr. Parrott's pretty smart, but he did not establish scientific laws. He might have found some, but he did not establish them. He says no, he's so humble. No, he did not establish them, but God did. He didn't form, no man formed one bit of this earth, but God did. Say, what's the significance of that? Yes, I understand that. He's the creator of everything. He's made it all. What's the big deal? Yes, a resume like any other resume. I understand. What? Why? God's great. What do you need to know? Verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. See, we read that verse, Jeremiah 33:3. Ever hear that verse? Sure, you probably have it memorized. Our kids memorize it in school. Maya, did you know that verse? Great. Do you have to memorize that in your PACE work? Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. Call unto me and I will... But who am I calling? Who is it that I'm calling upon? I'm calling upon the God of all. See, that's different. See, I could call up a lot of people. I could use my phone, and I've called cronies many a times, and they can help me with some stuff. I'm going to get fat. I can call my dad for help. I could call Mr. Bauman. Mr. Bauman, how do I hook this up? Or how do I turn the thing on? Or how do I turn it off? Brother Burkhardt, how do I get this lug nut off? Get a longer pole, he says. All right, those are helpful. But God says, call unto me. And he has a resume like any other. See, God desires your call. which doesn't make sense to me. If I called Stephen Federico today and be like, hey, I got a headache. I know you're going to medical school. What do I do? My cousin just graduated from medical school. She's a doctor now. And this past week, boom. That's a long school, and she's still got a bunch of school ahead. Kaylee Warren, MD. That's pretty awesome. Hey, I got this ringing in my ear. She's like, hey, listen, just go see your doctor. That's not my call. How does the God that created all of this, established every single law, scientific, big and small, how he keeps... I saw a video that simulated the moon's orbit around the Earth. Amazing that it constantly faces the same direction all the way around. How does the moon not crash into the Earth? How does the Earth not crash into something else? By God. He keeps all those big things in order, and yet he keeps two hydrogen and one oxygen together and makes it a vital part of my body. And that guy, the God of heaven, says, call on me. I'd like to talk with you. The God who desires your call. And then the call itself. This is something that we would call prayer. Conversation between man and God is called prayer. Gets its own special name. You know, when I talk to my son and we have a conversation, sometimes arguments. I don't argue with God. God doesn't argue with me. We pray. We pray to God. And he says this, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Our conversation with God. Turn to Psalm. Hold your hand in Jeremiah 33. Honestly, if you lose Jeremiah 33, it's okay. We'll come back to it. But go to Psalm chapter 5 in verse 3. Psalm 5:3. It says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You know the best way to start your day? Talking to the Lord. A conversation with God. Say, oh, he doesn't want... He wants to hear from you. He established who he was, and then he says, call me. I've been out and about, and you know, people have business, and I understand that. And they'll give you a card. Hey, if there's anything I can ever do, give me a call. Okay. Put their card in my pocket. I'm not calling them. I mean, unless I really needed something. But God, what does he do? He desires that we would call him. When? All the time. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. And look up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. You don't have to turn there. It tells us to pray without ceasing. We ought to be in constant communication with the Lord. The Lord is incredibly gracious with us. That maybe it's been a time when you haven't talked to him, and then you call out to him. He's not like, whoa, look who decided to get around to call me. We all have maybe a family member that does something like that, makes us guilty for not calling them when we do call them. You all have somebody like that, right? I call my dad every single day. Every morning I give him a call on my way in. And if it's busy, I'll call him back later. I talk to him every day. Our conversation is about 90 seconds. Unless he's got something to talk about, then it's 2 minutes. That's about it. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. We got to talk to God every day. He doesn't make us feel guilty when we don't. But do you understand the conversation is initiated on our end? Call unto me. Pray without ceasing. Go to James chapter 5. I'd like to show you two verses in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. When's a good time to call? Well, in the morning, without ceasing, even when you're afflicted, let him pray. That's when you're heavy-hearted and or disheartened or being shut up in the prison. If we look over in verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we, and he prayed how? Earnestly. How ought we to pray when we're afflicted? And earnestly. The Bible tells us to pray fervently. In Psalm 18, verse 6, it tells us in our distresses we're to call upon God. Hey, when my heart is heavy, where else can you go? This past week, I was in Greece, and we were getting some stuff for Vacation Bible School. Went into the Marine Recruiter Office. Yeah, that's their door chime. You walk in, and that was from the lady from behind the desk. Yeah. They got us a couple posters. That was nice. Then we went over to the Navy. Whew! They backed the truck up. They just unloaded it. They're giving us boxes and stuff. Anyways. Where was I? Greece! Thank you. Right next to the recruiter's office, Andy's Candies. So you walk in, and it is one of the most pleasant smells you'll ever smell. It's got that cool temperature you walk in, so it keeps the chocolate from melting. Of course, the woman behind the counter is smiling. She works in the chocolate place. That's not going to help my distress. That's not going to help my afflictions. That's not going to help my heavy heart. That's not going to help me when I'm shut up in prison. No. But a call to God will. And He's promised to hear us. Psalm chapter 4. Sometimes my children will ask me the same question over and over and over. Any parent, is it just my kids or is it all kids? Mrs. Bayer, you're on the other side of it. Is this, okay, it's just not my kids? So I'll answer and then they'll ask again and again. And God wants that. Me, I don't want that. I'll answer you one time, and that's it. Then I'm done answering. I stop giving information. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart that him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. He'll hear us. Isn't it good to know that I could always call on God? Isn't it good to know that no matter where you're at or the circumstances that you might find yourself, that God is waiting for your call? I told you I call my dad every morning, 7:30, 7:45. We've been doing it for years. Sometimes he doesn't answer. because he's busy. He's doing something. Maybe he's in the shop or doing something else and getting ready for the day. I never get that with the Lord. He always answers. Sometimes it's delayed. But your answers or your requests do not go unnoticed with God. If we look at Revelation chapter 5, look at what it says here. Revelation 5:8. Revelation 5:8 says, "And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." He keeps them. At our house, and we have a hope chest in our room. And in that hope chest we have a lot of the little cards and notes and things that our kids have made over the years. But not all of them. Some get burnt, honestly. We use some for kindling. We use some for just trash. We can't keep everything. They make us a lot of stuff. And we do appreciate it when it comes to us, but I just can't keep everything. God keeps all our prayers. He keeps every one. He keeps them in vials. Your requests do not go unnoticed. These days, we don't get busy signals too often. Not unless someone else is making a call on the other end, right? I mean, that's good timing. If you could call someone and it's busy, that means they're calling somebody else at that exact moment. Ever get a call and look at it and go, ooh, nope. Ignore. Brother Sutliff, have you ever done that?
Every day.
Every day. Which would explain why it's so hard for me to get in touch with you. Mm-hmm. But he's promised that he will answer us. He doesn't say, you know what, let me get back to you on that. Ooh, Nick's calling again. Ignore. No, he wants our call, and he's actually, I know he doesn't have the telephone, but he's sitting by it waiting. Just waiting to have fellowship. And somehow, I don't know how, Claire, he makes it work, but he can talk to me and you at the same time. He can have, the kids at the dinner table, they'll just start barraging me with questions or thoughts, and their thoughts and their questions, and I can't sort out, stop! Just stop, everybody, all at once. All right, what were you saying? What were you? I can't sort it all out. And I only have five people, and a dog and a cat, and everybody needs something, right? The dog's bumping into me, cat's swatting at my feet. They're all hungry. They all want everything. I can't keep a track. But God somehow can listen to us all, keep track of it all, hear us all. It's like when I talk to the Lord, it's like I'm the only one talking to him. So how do you know that? Because he responds to me when I talk to him. He answers me. It's not backlogged. Brother Seatman and I were talking this past week. You called Social Security. Set up a phone appointment. You're on the phone with Social Security, and they said how long, how far out until they could call you back?
Like 3 weeks.
3 weeks. You're on the phone with me right now. Yeah, we can't talk right now. We're going to have to call you back in 3 weeks. Backlogged. We never get that with the Lord. God never says, I'm just too busy. You know, have you seen Mars? I'm trying to keep Mars. Like, sir, I got some issues with Mars. No, he doesn't say that. He hears us. And he answers us. John 14:14 tells us, God says, I will do it. I will answer thee. Now look at Psalm 91, verse 15. Prayer time is never a waste of time. Prayer time is never a waste of time. Psalm 91 and verse 15 says this, "And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." I was talking to a man this past week that just had a rough life, telling me tough things. Got to the point in his life where he had nowhere else to turn. Could you imagine calling people and people not taking your call because you're in trouble? Remember Ryan Englert? The guy that plays their guitar right up here? Remember? He'd burnt through all of his family, all of his friends because of his alcohol. And he had one more name in his contact list. Grayson. Grayson. No offense to Grayson, but you got to be pretty low on your contact list when Grayson is your best option. But he was. And the Lord used that. And Ryan got saved, and praise the Lord. But could you imagine calling your mom, your dad, "Hey, I'm in trouble"? No, not this time. What does God say here? Psalm 91. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble." Have you ever been in trouble? Yeah. Did you call on God? Yeah. Did he help you? Yeah. What are you going to do next time you get in trouble? Probably do the same thing. When does his deliverance stop? It doesn't stop. He says, "I will answer thee." The results. Go back to Jeremiah 33. The resume of God as the creator of the world invites us to call upon him. And he promises that he'll answer us. And not just answer us, but show thee great and mighty things. The results will be great and mighty things. Victories won. Mountains climbed and overcome. In Acts chapter 12, we see Peter in prison. What did they do? They prayed for him. And God busted him right out of that prison, didn't they? He knocks at the door, and they were surprised. They didn't believe it. They thought it was a spirit. They didn't know what was going on. But God answered. The product will be victories won, mountains climbed and overcome, hearts healed. Who is able to heal hearts other than the maker of them? Families healed, spirits renewed, direction given, lives changed. Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us, above what we could ever imagine. God's got answers for us that we couldn't even come up. Our best case scenario, God's like, "That ain't even close to what I could do." Jeremiah 33:3, "And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, beyond our understanding." Walking into the realms of miracles beyond natural laws. So here we are. Jeremiah 33 and verse 2. "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." As I said, there's no time wasted in talking to the Lord. There's no circumstance where prayer just doesn't work. So what's in your life? What's going on with you? What needs healing? What needs renewal? What needs direction? Who needs an answer tonight? A lot of times people will sit in my office and they'll ask me some tough questions to which I don't know the answer to. But I know one that does. And he's asking us to call him. So why are we so reluctant? Why do we try so hard to not? Why do we try and do it ourselves for so long? Why don't we just ask for help? Let's all stand. I don't know where you're at tonight. But maybe there's something in your life that you should have called upon God a long time ago. Well, let's use tonight. Let's talk to Him. Heavenly Father, I ask you, bless this time of invitation now. Bless the message. Bless your word in a mighty way. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?